Hi, this is Paul Sollendrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. You're listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. We have a special guest here today, senior catcher, Wichita State baseball, Gunnar Trautwein. We're going to set up a big week in Shocker baseball, talk about a lot of different things. Gunnar's been here for 4 years, been through a lot, and we will get into that starting now. Let's start by kind of setting up this week. Wichita State, they're 24-9, they're 4-5 in a very crowded American race. That's one of the things I think we'll get to. Nobody's really separated themselves in the conference, and it will be very interesting over the final few weeks of this. Wichita State, number 15 in the RPI, so this is a baseball team that's sitting in a pretty good spot. Let's start kind of at the beginning. I guess that's a good place to start with Gunnar. You signed with Wichita State way back in November 2013 out of Shawnee Mission East High School. Came to Wichita State then in August 2014 and got it started going then as a freshman. Started in 38 games. What brought you to Wichita State?
Well, Paul, I want to say thanks for having me on the show. Really, I felt like I got into the recruiting game a little bit late in high school. I really wasn't sure if I wanted to continue and play baseball outside of high school, but I saw my skills develop throughout the years in high school, and then kind of got into the recruiting game. And then I was actually contacted by Coach Butler and former coach Brian Walker about coming down on a visit, and came down here, checked out the campus. They showed me all the facilities and everything like that, and then actually got to catch a game at Kauffman Stadium when Wichita State played Mizzou. I think it was in 2013. But saw what I liked and the team and everything and how the coaches acted around the players and stuff. And then Coach Butler is a great recruiter and really had me sold on the team and the campus.
What flipped your switch from maybe baseball, maybe not, to college baseball, something I want to do?
I think it was just kind of falling in love with the game again. I'd been playing it for so long before high school and stuff like that. I didn't know if I just really wanted to go to college to experience just being a student or carry out the life of a student athlete. And really fell in love with the game of baseball again, and then I just wanted to continue playing it as much as possible.
Let's talk about your background as a catcher. I always think that's a fascinating position, a lot of physical demands. I think to a lot of people it's fun to hit the ball, it's fun to maybe run around in center field, everybody wants to play shortstop. I don't know how many people really want to play catcher. How did you develop as a catcher in that spot?
Well, I think it was in the early years of my career when I was playing machine pitch, and I think the catcher at the time got hurt or something, and I kind of just got thrown into the fire. They said, hey Gunnar, put on the gear. Go out there and see what you got, and I think from then on I kind of fell in love with it. I think one of the big aspects of being a catcher to me that's really fun is you're involved in the entire game. Every pitch, every play, you're kind of there, you're part of it, you're calling your own game and everything, and it just kind of has a lot of weight on your shoulders, but having that value to the team I think is very cool, a very cool aspect of being a catcher.
That's what a lot of catchers say. They always say they don't want to be that kid out in the outfield picking daisies. They want to be involved every minute as catchers are. Why is that so attractive? What part of that do you really enjoy?
I think it's just the tempo of it. I feel like you always kind of know what's expected and what's coming towards you, pitches and stuff like that. Because if you're just sitting out in the outfield all day or sitting in the infield, you're kind of waiting for something to react, whereas catching, you're anticipating everything at every moment. I mean, you're kind of expecting what's coming at you, but from that standpoint, I feel like just being involved in the game as much as possible is awesome, because going back, you could have a terrible day at the plate hitting wise, but if you caught a winner that day, it still goes down as a good day because your team won. And I feel like falling back on defense and offense there, I think, is a lot easier for a catcher, because could not be doing so well at the plate and then have a great day behind the plate. So I feel like that aspect of falling back and forth, I think, is really a neat aspect of being a catcher.
The physical demands of catcher are unique in that sport. What do you do to preserve your body, to stay fresh for all the crouching, the jumping, all those kind of things that you do?
Well, we have a great athletic training staff here at Wichita State, as well as Kerry Rosenboom in the strength conditioning world and stuff like that. But I kind of have a daily routine. I show up to the field early, usually one of the first guys there. I'll have some breakfast, and then I kind of get my body rolling. our trainer Dan Cahill likes to refer to it as warming up the bus and start on the bike for a couple minutes and get the body flowing, and then do some foam rolling, some band stretching, and then I'll get my legs stretched out, get my shoulders stretched out, and then that's pretty much like our basic routine before we go out to the field to stretch. We'll stretch as a team, take BP and do all that stuff, but for post-game recovery, I kind of just make sure I get some good food in my body, and then from then on, I kind of re-foam roll and then re-stretch out just so I'm not too tight before I go to bed. If anything's ever really bothering me, we have some stuff called the Normatec, which is kind of just like a deep tissue compression thing and kind of refuels your muscles and stuff from a leg standpoint and stuff, kind of just gets your body ready for the next day. So we do a really good job here of really kind of taking care of our bodies.
Is that a part of the life that you got more serious about the older you got? You just had to make keep your body right?
Definitely. I feel like I started to feel a little bit in high school because I stopped playing basketball after my freshman year for the school. So baseball kind of became a full year sport for me. I'd play in the fall and the spring and in the summer. So with baseball all year round and then being on my knees almost every other day or every weekend for like five games, really had to take care of my body just so I could be able to play at my best for that day or the next day. And kind of getting involved with strength conditioning place back home, they kind of showed me the ropes and everything, the basic stuff that you kind of need to do to take care of your body and stuff. But it definitely plays a big role in college sports, I feel like, because with all the travel, the early morning calls and all that stuff like that, you really got to be ready to go every day. And taking care of your body, I feel, is like a number one priority.
Let's go back to August 2014. You're showing up here at Wichita State. What advice would you give your 2014 freshman Gunnar Trautwein?
I would tell him take advantage of every day you're given, no matter if it's a game or if it's practice. I kind of felt like I came in as a freshman, not so much that I was scared, but I just kind of showed up because I really didn't know what I expected, because we were all freshmen there and we're all new guys, kind of really don't know what's going on yet and stuff like that. But I would say take advantage, because I feel like in some of those fall inter squads or something like that, you can kind of see some nervousness and some freshman hitters and stuff like that, because they might not have seen the type of pitching we have here at school versus the stuff they saw in high school, velo wise and stuff like that. So I feel like to get used to that, you just have to be aggressive as possible and to learn from it too, because if you just kind of sit back and just watch stuff go by, you might not develop as the player you should be developing into. So that's what I would really tell them. Be as aggressive as possible and take advantage of each day, because practice is the time to fail and learn from that versus having to learn from that in the game. So I feel like that's what I would tell myself.
Were there upperclassmen on that team that really helped you adjust to college baseball?
I would say so, yes. Bob Arns and Brandon Kimbrell, I would say they kind of took me under their wing catching-wise and kind of showed us the ropes and stuff, how to handle bullpens, how to talk to pitchers and stuff like that. And I think from that standpoint, it was really kind of a blessing, just because it kind of showed me the ropes, how to handle certain situations. And especially as a freshman, catching bullpens, you might have a senior guy throwing on the mound and he might not take you as serious as you should be taken serious, just because you're a freshman, you're kind of just back there going through the motions, whereas you should be wanting to get better and make the guy on the mound better.
Talking to pitchers, that's a good one. We all know those guys are high maintenance out on the mound. Mm-hmm. You have to speak to them. Different ones take kind of different paths with different guys.
Yep. I would say you definitely need to learn your pitchers, and I feel like from my experiences here is you almost have to be kind of a chatty Cathy in the locker room, and you got to always be talking to, whether it's the pitchers or other position guys, just be talking to them, learning who they are and stuff like that, just so if like that situation on the mound comes up, you know how to handle the situation. Whereas if you need to kind of jump a guy and get him going a little bit more, or as just kind of talk a guy down and kind of get him a little more comfortable. And I think that really just comes back to knowing who you have on the mound.
I think when we look back on this season, we're going to look at it as this kind of this group, the juniors, the seniors, the senior class that you're a part of, is going to be the group that kind of that pushed this program back in the direction that people want. How would you describe this group of juniors and seniors? Kind of what kept you guys stuck together, working hard, pushing through some of these difficult times?
I would always kind of say it was probably the success that we would see at the end of the tunnel, kind of that light at the end of the tunnel. And we all work so hard, and we all want to achieve great things, but we also want to do great things for this school and get it back to where it was. And you can't really build a championship culture in one day, something Coach Butler kind of talks to us about sometimes. So over the years, we learned from failure and stuff like that, and we've been in some tough situations, and I felt like we played some really good teams and sometimes may have lost to some of those really good teams. But in the long run, that built our team and made us stronger. We've experienced certain atmospheres in different college baseball stadiums and stuff like that, and I think going on now, with we're all experienced, we're all older, we all have that in our back pocket, there's nothing we haven't seen now. So with all the experience that people going off and playing summer ball and developing and getting better and then coming back here and using that for our team this spring, I feel like it's really helped us in the long run.
Yeah, that schedule is something that Todd has referenced. Wichita State's played at Louisiana State, at Texas Tech, just to name a few. So you would say there is value in that?
I definitely would think so, yes. Especially when we're a younger team, as we've kind of been the past couple of years. Seeing that at a younger stage in our college careers, I feel like that prolongs us and just makes us better in the long run.
Yourself, Trey Vickers, Jordan Boyer, Chandler Sanborn, Josh DeBacker, and Travis Young. That's the remaining members of that that recruiting class, guys that came in together in 2014. Tell us about that group. What kind of distinguishes that? What kind of bond do you guys have?
I feel like we're a very special group just because we all get along and everything. We all kind of have the same personalities. We're all fun to hang out with and stuff like that. None of us are too high or too low when it comes to attitudes and stuff like that, no matter if we win or lose. But I feel like we're just a very close group of guys, and we've really stuck it out. Coach Butler really has taught a lot of us how to kind of lead this team and stuff like that, and pretty much everyone in our remaining class gets that. And I think it's really helped our team in this season so far.
Yeah, it's a good group, and everybody on that list is playing an important role in this year's team. Not everybody, there's some seniors on that list. There's also some redshirt juniors on that list, but that's been definitely been an important group in this season's success. I guess that brings us to, it almost has a life of its own, the Gunner Troutwine beard. It's kind of become a media sensation. Take us through the history of the beard.
Well, I kind of always had some facial hair here and there. But for me, earlier in my college career, it was kind of like I'd grow it out, and then it would get too long, and I'd kind of get tired of it, and then I would shave and have the baby face again. But my senior year, being my last year, possibly, I just wanted to do something cool in the fall. I started growing it out in mid-July, and progressively got longer and longer, and then I did think I was going to have to shave it over winter break, but I talked to Coach Butler. He said, as long as you play good, you can keep it and let it keep growing. There was a few times in the fall where he said I had to trim it up for pictures and stuff like that, but no scary thoughts of totally shaving it.
So his policy was hit the ball well and keep it neatly groomed.
Yep.
and you're good.
Yeah, Coach Butler is always kind of like clean-shaved guys in the past. He said if you have long hair, you might as well be able to hit. If you're hitting, you can keep it. If not, you're going to have to trim it up and cut it to where it looks good. So I think it's almost kind of like a motivator in a way to keep playing good so you can keep the good juju going.
There you go. Now, you said you're a Game of Thrones fan.
Yeah.
Is this beard any kind of a homage to the Game of Thrones characters?
There is one, Thorman. He is a wildling. That's what Coach Steele always calls me when we're messing around. But he's kind of got the same red hair and the red beard and everything. He's kind of a little crazy, but yeah, it's kind of like a tribute to that, I guess so, or some other Vikings characters. I remember seeing some stuff from ECU, a bunch of commentators were calling me a Viking or something like that, but I'm out in public sometimes and I see some other guys with some really good beards and I'm like, man, I wish mine would kind of look like that, because they're always a little bit longer and stuff like that, and I feel like mine, from a style standpoint, always lacks a little bit of flair and stuff like that. But I like keeping it a little bit wild.
Yeah, well, it's certainly gotten a lot of attention. It's been a fun part of the season. I think people enjoy those. You know, baseball, I think, is a sport that is fertile for that kind of stuff, whether it's, you know, things in the dugout or, you know, rally caps and beards, all those kind of things seem to really thrive. I guess when you've got 30 guys on a team, you're going to always have some interesting things. Let's talk about junior season and then how that flowed into a senior season. You had a tough junior season. Knee injury affected you. You hit 224, played in 29 games. Take us through how you kind of deal with that, how you survive a season like that.
Yeah, it can be tough because it was at a point where I wanted to keep playing because we were winning ball games there early in the season, and I was kind of fighting through in it, seeing what I could do with the training staff and the weight room to kind of maintain it and make sure it didn't get any worse and stuff like that. But pretty much halfway through the season, I just couldn't bear it anymore, and it kind of caught up to me, and it started to affect my catching, and then it started to affect my hitting. I couldn't load into my back leg, and then it was just too painful to handle with. And we got it fixed and everything like that, and then it's kind of better. I had to rest for a little while, and then it was almost kind of like I was kind of too much in a hole to really get myself back to where I was or should be. But I think it was really from it just kind of caught up to me, because from senior year in high school, playing summer ball, then coming to WSU in the fall, play all those inter-squad games, then got thrown into the fire there my freshman year and played, I think it was 39 games or something like that. Played all those, then went off to summer ball in Alaska, pretty much caught almost all the time out there, then came back and caught in the fall, and then the same thing in the spring, and then going out to Cape Cod League. I was feeling good there, pretty healthy, but I think just that fall, I think everything kind of caught up to me, and I was still taking care of my body, but it obviously wasn't enough, and it just hit me there halfway through the season, and we had to take care of it and take some time off. And I think coming back this summer, not playing summer ball at all, really gave me some time to rest and get stronger, and it's definitely paid off this season so far.
There's probably a lot of athletes that come to college and have to kind of go through that injury problem for mm-hmm. the first time. Who did you lean on? How do you kind of keep your spirits moving in the right direction in that kind of a situation?
It was really Coach Butler. I mean, he always kind of told me, we'll get you fixed, we'll get you healthy and everything like that, and you'll be back to where you should be. And he was right. He said, just take it easy. It's not the end of the world or anything like that. Just take it for what it is. And with me kind of going down, it gave another catcher, Noah Croft, an opportunity to catch and get some playing time like that. So from a team standpoint, it was fun to see him get in there and play and have some success. So just knowing that possibly the guy behind you or the guy next to you can play and still compete to where you should be competing is really cool.
We'll run through some of the offensive numbers here for Gunner. He's hitting .326. He's got 6 home runs, .579 slugging percentage. And I think it's easy for us as people who are watching, fans, media, whatever, to see that kind of improvement. Let's talk a little bit about the defensive improvement behind the plate. Where do you feel like you've really progressed here?
Honestly, it came down to a conversation that our new coach, Coach Esposito, and Coach Butler and I were all having, and it was just kind of at a point where I was still a little shaky in the fall with catching, kind of still working on some things, some new stances. And it all came to us where it was just like, maybe you should just only have one stance when you're catching back there. And it was just, it's called a primary stance. It's just kind of like a stance when there's nobody on. And they were saying that I'm just as athletic as I'm in the primary stance versus a secondary stance where you'd be in a position of catching where there's somebody's on or two strikes just so you could block the ball a little bit better. But they said just try blocking in your primary stance. And I did. And it was just as easy as blocking it in a secondary, and they said, go with it. I mean, it's going to save your legs halfway through the game, and you're going to be able to frame better and everything like that and stick better pitches. And ever since then, I've stuck with it. I'm totally relaxed in that stance, and I think it really pays off with stealing some strikes throughout the game.
Yeah, framing pitches, I think, is something we hear a lot about on the outside. It's really hard for me, from my view in the press box. I think it's probably hard for fans to gauge that. How how real is that? How important is that to a catcher?
I think it's very important because I think in the major leagues they have a new stat for that category of frame and pitches. And honestly, if you can steal 5 to 10 pitches a game, I think it could honestly be a matter of a win or a loss. Because sometimes those big strikes come up in big situations where you need a quick out or you need a shutdown inning. But I think it does play a big role in the game today.
How much do you interact with the umpires, and how important is it for a catcher to, you know, really have a good relationship with the umpire? Probably more important than a lot of positions out there.
For playing in the Valley, down in the American, and then sometimes we have those Big 12 games throughout the middle of the week, I kind of run into the same umpires week in and week out, so it's good to kind of re-catch up with those guys. Early in the game, I'll introduce myself, and if I remember them, I'll have a little conversation with them, ask them who they've seen that's good this year throughout the country and stuff like that, or where they're going next. And I think it's important to have a good relationship with the umpire because it might mean it keeps him in a good mood throughout the game, and you might steal a couple more strikes, honestly, if you kind of get his mind rolling a little bit and then he's not paying attention too hard. But it can get tough sometimes if, like, the other coach is chirping him for balls and strikes, or if Coach Beller's getting on them for something. You kind of just have to calm them down and talk with them sometimes. But I think it's fun to have a conversation with them throughout the game. Sometimes you can't do it too much just because it might take your focus away from the pitch and stuff like that, or the game. But between innings, we'll talk and stuff like that. But I think it's always good to have a good relationship with them.
When we talk about your offense, one of the things that stands out, you're hitting for power, not striking out a lot. You know, 15 strikeouts and 95 at bats. You've walked 14 times. How do you get to that point? How do you summon that power, yet still cutting down on the strikeouts?
I think it's honestly being a senior and this being my fourth year, I've kind of seen some elite pitching and stuff like that, so I kind of know what to look for. We do a good job of some scouting reports, getting some video on the pitchers that we're going to face, so I kind of study that as much as I can. Kind of just watch how they're throwing certain guys. Like, for the most time, I'm hitting right behind Alec Bohm, so I'll kind of watch how they're pitching him because they're probably going to pitch me somewhat similar. And so I kind of take that into thought. But I think for me, it's just that senior mentality is keeping it loose and being very aggressive at the plate, I think. And it's paid off in some situations, and I just kind of roll with it. I don't let too many at-bats affect where I'm going and stuff like that. But I'm just kind of keeping it loose and a free mind in there in the box.
What's your view on the launch angle craze that's kind of hit the big leagues, and I think it's filtered down to college over the last 3 or 4 years? Is that something you've adapted much of?
I kind of take it into a little bit of thought of that. For me, my approach is really simple. I don't try and manipulate or make anything too big of it. My whole thing is hit the ball hard, not far. So if I can just hit the ball as hard as I can, usually it's probably going to go somewhere pretty fast or pretty far. So just that little simple approach, I think, has really helped me.
Let's talk about Friday. Tough Friday for the Shockers. 2 losses to Connecticut. Take us inside the role of a senior. It's a bad day on Friday. How do you handle it? How do you help that team, I guess, get that out of their mind and focus on what was going to be the next game on Sunday?
We had a little short practice on Saturday, and one of the big things Coach Butler is always talking to us about is back-to-back losses. I think from Friday, that was our third time having back-to-back losses, but we can't let it be 3 in a row, never. You should never lose 3 games in a row for us, especially with the team that we have right now. And he had all of us seniors talk to the team a little bit, just kind of briefly, and one of the big things was giving it your all. And we only have, I think it's 23 games left of the regular season, and to make each one of those count and to realize that each day you need to come out and give it your all, just because it could treat it like it's your last game almost, and the end of the season can be right there. So really for us, it's just kind of come back on Sunday, give it your all, and come out ready to play in the first inning. And I think it showed there in the first inning, scoring first, and then kind of put up those late runs in the later of the game.
Went 1-2 on the weekend, which isn't what Wichita State wanted, but went 2-2 on the week, and the midweek win was a big one at Oklahoma State. And I think fans may get kind of prisoner of the moment. As a baseball player, when you're used to playing 60 games, when you're used to playing four or five times a week, it's a little bit easier for the team as a whole to take a big picture view.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like day in and day out, we're all kind of trying to give it our all and stuff like that. So really, the big picture for us is where we want to be in Omaha at the end of the season. But when we play on the weekends in the American, it's Coach Beller always tells us it's times two. Everybody wants to win on the weekend when you're playing those American teams, and there's more worth and value in those games because we ultimately want to be in Clearwater at the end of the regular season and sitting there in a good seat too, if possible. And honestly, for us, every game counts. No matter if it's non-conference or conference, we just, with our team, we can come out ready to play every day. We can honestly beat any team in the country if we have that mindset. And then we can't just really take games for granted no matter who we're playing.
Yeah, the American standings are crazy at this point. I'm trying to find them here. But basically, the only team that's really out of anything, it appears, is Memphis. Everybody else is kind of locked together with 4-5 losses. So not really much has been, you know, has been decided at this point. And Wichita State, I think there's maybe one or two other teams that have also only played the three-weekend series, which is kind of a roundabout way to get into your thoughts. What are your impressions on this new conference? What's it been like playing in the American so far?
It's awesome because the level of competition is so high. I feel like really for any team, it's very hard to sweep a team on any given weekend. And just looking at some of the scores here and there on the weekend, it's like sometimes you can see a team beat a team 15-2, then the next day it's a one-run ball game. And so it kind of really shows the different levels of pitching and the different levels of offenses that can wage between one day for any given team. And it's pretty crazy because it makes you think you have to come out and play hard every single day, because if you don't, one can slip right out of your hands real quick.
Yeah, after the weekend, we've got South Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati all at 7-5. Then we've got East Carolina, which lost 2 out of 3. You know, it looked like East Carolina was maybe taking a little bit of a lead. They lost 2 out of 3 over the weekend. Connecticut at 5-4, Central Florida and Tulane at 6-6, and Wichita State at 4-5. So there is, you know, every team in this conference is basically one good weekend away from jumping up to the top. It's kind of interesting. The pitching staff has been such a big story this year. Really great improvement, starters, bullpen, everywhere. What's your view on what's happened with this pitching staff?
I think they've just all gotten stronger as a unit. Coach Steele, Mike Steele, does a great job working with them day in and day out. He's got them on a great throwing program and everything. They take care of their bodies every day with our training staff. And it really does show, especially throughout the entire season, because we were very unfortunate the past couple of years to have some major injuries with our starting pitching. And it's kind of tough bouncing back when you lose two starting pitchers. And this year we've been, knock on wood, blessed with some very healthy starters and bullpen guys. And it really does show with all the work that they put in, because from a position player standpoint, they're constantly working. Like, we'll be taking BP and stuff like that in practice, and they're running, they're doing their throwing program, and they're doing all this stuff with Coach Steele. And the program that they really have them on it's fantastic, and it really does show.
We've got Cody Hoyer's been the Friday starter, Liam Eddy, and Saturday. They've basically been the guys there all season, which, as you mentioned, in past seasons, that's been an issue largely because of injuries. Tommy Barnhouse has taken over the Sunday role. And these are new roles for these guys, and to a large extent, what's your role in helping them kind of navigate this life of, you know, every weekend you're going out there on Friday, you're facing the other team's ace. It's different being a weekend starter. How do you help those guys?
I think it's just a standpoint of letting them be who they are. Coach Beller is always telling us that, and it's really helped some guys grow. But from a pitching standpoint, they all know they have really good stuff. And when they know how to use their stuff, they can be electric. And I think for my role, it really comes back to letting them know that they have that in their back pocket and they should never be afraid to use it. And just week in and week out for them, I feel like I let them know they put in the work every day, and they their bullpen show. They improve each week, and they grow as a pitcher. They keep developing all three of their pitches, and they let it show on those weekends sometimes. And with them coming out and giving it their all, and it really works for them. And really for my job in the game is just to keep them going every inning, just getting closer and closer to that bullpen moment where we have to bring in some other guy. So if I can keep them going for a couple innings and stuff like that, it really helps out our team.
A lot of those pitchers stayed here over the summer, didn't throw a whole lot or at all, and Mike Steele has credited that kind of focusing on lifting weights and conditioning. He thinks that's really helped. What's your view about the summer and how it helped this staff?
I think it really helped the staff a lot, just because it gave some guys that have thrown a lot of innings some rest, and it let some guys get stronger who needed to get stronger and stuff like that. And then it kind of just kept them on a good program, because I think sometimes you go off to summer ball, some guys get a little bit lazy, some summer ball coaches get a little bit careless with innings pitched and stuff like that. And I think it can put a lot of stress on some pitchers' arms, especially if they threw a lot of innings in the spring. But just having them on a good routine and stuff, a work ethic every day, I think it's really now it carried over into the fall, and now it's carried over into the spring, and I really feel like it's paying off.
We mentioned the win over Oklahoma State. You had had an important role in that win, a three-run home run to win it. Wichita State won that 10-7 down in Stillwater. I kept thinking about Clinton McKeever. Are you aware? Did anybody tell you the story about his home run in the regional?
Uh-uh.
Oh, well, that was an oversight. Yeah, he won a regional game for Wichita State. 2008, beat Oklahoma State with a home run down there. That was the first thing that flashed into my mind. Had to be a big thrill for you. Take us through that at bat, that moment, the celebration, the whole thing.
Yeah, honestly, starting from the beginning of the game, it was kind of like I felt getting off the bus. My legs weren't as loose as I wanted them to be, so I really felt like my catching wasn't very superb that game. So I felt like I had to do a little bit more with my bat to make up for that. And from the week before playing Oklahoma State at home, I kind of noticed as a whole their pitching staff was really pitching us soft. They all watched our BP, and they knew we could hit the fastball, so... last week I got a couple change-ups mostly throughout most of my at-bats, so I kind of figured carrying on to this week that I was going to get the same stuff. And then I hit that double at the beginning of the game off a change, or I think it was a slider. But they brought in that good bullpen guy, I think was one of their dudes out of the bullpen. And I kind of took a bad swing, really, before the one I hit out, and I think it kind of made their coaches think that I was sitting soft. And he kind of just left a fastball right over the plate, and I was choked up, and I kind of caught it on the barrel, and it went out of the park.
What thoughts are going through your mind as you're rounding the bases there?
As soon as I hit it, it was honestly like, this only happens in video games. Because a lot of guys on the team play MLB The Show, and it's like, you only see that happen late in the game and stuff like that. But I hit it, I kind of turned to the dugout for a second, and it was awesome to see them jumping up and down, and then it's kind of running around the bases, and then I was mobbed at home plate and stuff like that, and then from then on it was just pretty crazy just to kind of get our team back there to win like that.
And there's, of course, baseball etiquette that you always have to pay attention to, I guess, especially being a catcher. What's the balance between being really happy because this is a great moment, but you don't want to be too happy, too demonstrative?
Exactly.
I guess
I felt like just after doing that and then going out that next inning, it was up to us just to shut it down, just to win this game as much as possible, because we were right there. We came back in those last two innings, and it had to be that kind of intense focus. Hey, we were winning now. It's all good, but let's close this game out. And I feel like it's not so much a big deal of doing good at the plate and then going to catch and having a good time there. I feel like the big point is, if you're not doing so well at the plate and then having to go catch, it's that balance is what really you have to focus on and kind of take it inning by inning and kind of flush if you have a bat at bat to go out there and catch, because it's easy sometimes to let your hitting affect your catching, but that should never be an issue for a catcher, really.
Wichita State has midweek games against Central Arkansas Tuesday, University of Kansas on Wednesday, both at X Stadium. The Shockers are on a pretty good roll here in the midweek with wins over Oklahoma and two over Oklahoma State. I guess I think about midweek games as, boy, the offense better be ready because the pitching can always be a little kind of come and go, you know. What's your view on the mindset of a midweek game?
I feel like sometimes the midweek games are kind of like some guys like to call them little stat boosters because they like those are the games that you're going to have to come out and swing. I mean, if you don't, you had a good chance to lose if you don't swing because you might be tired from the weekend or something like that. But for the most part, in some people's eyes, for midweek games, they're not throwing their ace, so it might be a gimme. But with the teams that we play in our non-conference, that's not the case at all. Sometimes we face some pretty good pitchers throughout the midweek, so we got to bring our best stuff. And then from our pitching standpoint, Snavely has shown some growth throughout some innings and stuff like that, but he has great stuff, and he just has to realize that. And it's going to show here pretty soon that he's going to be able to carry us through a game pretty late.
And when you look back at these midweek games, especially the recent ones, Wichita State's bullpen is, you know, Shockers have given up some runs, but there's come a point where the bullpen's been able to come in and shut it down. Is that a big key to these midweek games?
I think so. Sometimes we just get it done on the weekend, and then for the midweeks we kind of scrap it up. But our bullpen definitely helps us out a lot with the midweek games and stuff like that, kind of cleaning up some innings. But once we hand that ball off, for the most part, it seems like it's shut down and it's zeros all across the board.
Senior year, time for transition. Your baseball career in college will last, hopefully, well into June. What's next for Gunnar Trautwein?
I would like to finish school. That's a big priority for me. I only have a couple hours left after this semester, and that I'll pursuing a general business degree. But if I get that chance to play after college for some professional baseball, I'll definitely try and pursue that. But that's a opportunity that's got to be presented to me. If not, I'd like to finish school and then become a working man.
Any particular profession outside of baseball?
Kind of still trying to figure that out a little bit because it's kind of tough. It's really hard to do internships and stuff like that when you're off playing summer baseball. But I got a kind of a passion for marketing and advertisement and stuff like that. So from that standpoint, that's probably something I'd like to pursue.
Excellent. Okay, well, Gunnar, thank you very much for your time. You've been very, very generous after a hard workout. I will get you out of here. Thanks again.
Thank you, Paul.